And I am glad to be here. It's funny how my word for the year was, well, still, my word for the year is found in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 13. And it says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." When I started this year, I realized that, well, God, what is it going to be this year? And my brother Eldon here can testify. It was like, well, this verse was like, okay, there is something here for you. And I'm like, well, what is it about? And here we go. I'm standing here today. And last time I taught in this chapter, 1 Samuel 17, the entire sermon was about remembrance, because I was talking about David being in the capacity of the young man that he was, but he remembered that the Lord was with him. And when he was about to conquer the Goliath, he said, "My Lord was with me when I was with the when I had to fight the bear and the lion." So it was a teaching about remembrance. But this time I was like, all right, it's going to be about remembrance again. So I just have to dust off my notes and here we go and pray about it. And that's going to be it. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has been convicting me that, well, this word has to do with your word for the year. It has to do with press on. And as I was saying with Pastor Eric a few seconds ago, I'm Edson Louis-Jean, and the pronunciation of my last name is French. So bear with me. I speak three languages. English is not my first language. So, like I said, I'm from Calvary Chapel, Port-au-Prince. And when I got here in June 2023, I used to serve. I knew the Lord, but I realized that something was missing. And it was a very challenging period when I first got here. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of, I don't know. I really don't know. I still don't know. But I know that it was a very dark, very depressed, very anxious season because I was thinking about everything. What is going to happen? Because I moved here to go to Berkeley, and I stayed at the ministry house for a month because I was at the Berkeley summer program. But I was questioning everything. Before I got here, the road to get to the U.S. Embassy, I call it the Valley of the Shadow of Death, because if you have to go there, if you're riding a car and they want the car, so they could kidnap you. They could just get because they want the car, and the safest or the not safest. I don't even know if I should use safe the word safe here, but the best option was a moped or a motorcycle. But imagine yourself being on a motorcycle, going to the U.S. Embassy and thinking, Lord, are they going to shoot me now? Are they going to kidnap me? It was very, very challenging. But when I got here, I realized that the Lord allowed me or the Lord helped me to face everything then. And I got to a point where the enemy was, I felt like I was under a lot of his lies. And in 1 Chronicles 28:9, David said, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandings, all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." This was very important because I knew the God of my father. I was serving the God of my father, but I got to a point where I was not seeking the God of my father enough. And what happens when we don't seek God enough, things happen. All, like, they just pop in our faces like that, and we don't even understand what's happening. There was an imbalance, there was confusion, there was all sorts of things that I couldn't even explain. But when I came back to the ministry house after that period of darkness, of emptiness, because the first time I didn't really understand what a ministry house was about, that was my first time being in a ministry house, I have to be honest. But when I got back, I was like, God, that's what it's about then. Well, the Lord found me there because I was giving him more of my attention. And that was a season of seeking. And he was like, well, now it's the time to seek. And I was looking for that sanity. And the Lord knew that I needed the peace that surpasses all understanding. And he started doing things through me. And this right now is a new thing. Just as Paul said in Philippians, we press on. And just as I had to press on when I moved here to the U.S., God calls every one of us to press on. We're about to go into the Word of God right now. And I would just ask everybody to please rise for the reading of the Word, because that's what we do in this house. Thank you. We are not going to read the entire chapter. I will do you a favor. I do not want anybody to complain or cry, but it's the Word of God. Why would you? Well, we're starting in we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, but we're starting in verse 34 all the way down to the verse 37. And it reads, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And now we're going to 45 to 47. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You came with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" Lord, this is your word. I pray that you would use me as a vessel, and I'm so grateful to be here because I do not qualify on any measure to stand in front of this audience, in front of your people, in front of your children, Lord, but it's only your grace. I pray that you would allow them to hear this word and you would enlarge the borders of their hearts because we know that we need your work in us. Father, give us this gift of your Holy Spirit once again, because you do it for us every single day of our life. I pray that you would fill us up and give us ears to hear. I pray for your people in Jesus' name, amen. Well, now it's time to get into it. Well, and you may be seated, thank you. David's story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is not just a story about giants. I realize that it's also a story about pressing on. and faith when everything around you says, you're too small, you're too young, and you're too weak. But David pressed on. The context of this chapter, Saul, the king, he was the king for several years, and his relationship with God faded because he disobeyed the Lord. And in the previous chapters, 1 Samuel 13, verse, you don't have to go there because I think we're going to project it. But 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, 14, Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So this is the context of this story. And now we're in a time where David, from chapter 16, he was anointed to become the new king. And Samuel is the priest and the prophet of the Lord. David is the youngest of eight, the son of Jesse, from Bethlehem. And in chapter 16, verse 13, it reads, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. One thing to note there is, despite David's anointing, he was still tending to the sheep and he was still serving Saul as a musician. But since we're in chapter 17, we're going to keep it there. And the Philistines in that story, they were a very technologically advanced and weapon and sort of military gears. So they were basically a giant, and they were defying the army of the Lord at that time. And at the place they were in, Soko, it's a town located in the territory of Judah, and the Philistines basically entered this territory, and they were challenging the people of God. So that is the context of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now we can start from verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes-Damim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistine, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet, and he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you not a servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then you shall be my servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem. All right, we're going to stop here for a second. So in that part of the chapter, Goliath was a giant, basically, 9 feet, 9 inches. He was very tall. And his armor was heavy because it was around 125 pounds. And the spearhead was around 15 pounds. Quite heavy. Well, Goliath was crying out and he was challenging the people of God. And that is, if you look at it from the standpoint of the Israelites, you will see it as, well, that's a giant facing us. But if you look at it from the standpoint of David, you're like, that's not fair. That's not supposed to happen. Yet it happened, unfortunately. Well, the question I want to ask you, how many times do situations take authority and challenge you? Because I have been in situations where situations literally took authority and they were challenging me. And when this happens in a time where you're not seeking the Lord, they're going to take authority over you and they will overpower you. But this was a time where their leader, something was happening to him. As I said, he disobeyed and his relationship with the Lord faded. And you see a new David that's anointed. He has the full fledged. He is basically strong, mighty in the Lord. He was not afraid. Well, when a leader stops seeking the Lord, you can expect all sorts of things to happen. You can expect this man to be afraid from miles away. You can smell his fear from miles away. Because it is no longer the Lord's strength. It is probably his strength, and he's not that strong. Even if you're Goliath, when it comes to facing the Lord with your strength, you're not strong. Only the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit can overcome our fear and our weakness. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And that's the point I want you to focus on this morning, that whatever giant you have to face, it's not of your sufficiency. Whenever you lose sight of that truth, you're in trouble, Calvary Chapel. You're in trouble, people of God. Unfortunately, Saul, he lost sight of this. Now, if you're looking at verse 12, you're looking at his brothers. And David was just a young man, he ruddy, very, probably my height or probably taller, I don't know. But he was very slender, very small. But this was not the point, because the Lord was with him. And I want to read 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that is the truth that you have to hold under your arm and walk with it every single day. Not a 5'10 or a 5'9 person, very slender. Not, I don't know, a 5 or 4. It doesn't matter. Because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Was it ever about our appearance? Was it ever about that? Because if you make it about that, that's a different story. I hope you don't make it about that. Because it should not be about that. And here you have standing in front of you, I'm very small like David. But I trust the Lord because it's not my doing. Like I said, I am not qualified for this. In the reality, of course, but the Lord, by his grace, would help me throughout this journey and even help me to stand up here in front of you. So now let's read from verse 16, and let's go down all the way to verse 24. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah and dry it, ephah, in dried grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news to them. Now Samuel and they and all men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistine. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. We're going to stop at 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now, one thing I want you to consider in this part is the amount of days they spent, I mean, Goliath spent, defying the army of the Lord. It was 40. And this number 40 is very, very important here. Because 40 is a very important number when you look at it throughout scripture. Moses spent 40 days on the mountain receiving the law. And Israel, and when he came down, Israel was worshiping a golden calf. That's in Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. Jesus spent 40 days fasting. What happened afterwards? Satan tried him, basically tempt him. That's Matthew 4, 1-2. Jesus was seen by the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. That's in Acts 1, 3. Now Goliath defied the Israelites for 40 days. And if you look throughout scripture, you would see more 40, 40, 40. But this is just it. That's it for now. And I want you to consider that here 40 represents not only a test, but a preparation, because it was a test for the Israelites, and it was also a preparation for David, because David is becoming the king. So David had to go through a period of preparation. There comes the title of this sermon, Press On. And as we go forward, you guys are going to hear what I mean, or what the word means by press on. We are in a season of preparation, Calvary Chapel. And it is very important for me to point this out because I want us to handle that transition with a lot of care because it did take so much. I pray that the Lord would give our church more discernment concerning this transition. Notice how David didn't show up on the battlefield, and he was just not about the things that people saw, but he was pressed on the small things. He was tending the sheep. He was serving his father. He was serving Saul. He was serving his brothers. And that's what prepared him to press on to fight against Goliath, because he had a heart of service. He knew how to press on because the Lord was with him when he was tending to the sheep in the garden, wherever he was, garden, wherever you want to call it. But the Lord was with him. He was spending time with the Lord. Do not overlook the season of preparation. And looking at David characteristics in that part, you're going to see a man who's faithful in small things. He's responsible. He has spiritual discernment. He realized that, wait, what's going on here? This is not normal. Why aren't you guys saying anything? And why is this happening? He was authentic. He had authentic faith rooted in experience. Humble and confident in the Lord, of course. Wisdom rooted in the fear of the Lord. He was diligent. He was obedient. Like I said, service-hearted. Remember I said that Saul's relationship with the Lord was fading. And when you're looking at the scripture we read in chapter 16, you see that David is freshly anointed. And if you're looking at this story, you realize that's a difference between a man with the Holy Spirit and a man without the Holy Spirit. Because Saul, as the leader, he was scared. He basically stayed behind. He was like, well, he was supposed to go first. That's his job as a leader. But he was standing behind. But David, what did he do? He pressed on. He pressed forward because he was about his father's matter. And that's the difference being with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit versus not having the Holy Spirit. Now let's read from verse 25 to 31, because this is a very long chapter. 25 to 31. And it reads, "So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.' Then David spoke to the man and stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and take away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him in this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.' Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?' Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul and sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" We're going to stop here for now. So David feared the Lord, and that's the one point I want you to retain from that part. David feared the Lord. Like I said, he had discernment. He realized that this was not okay. How can you defy the army of the living God with all the words that you're saying? Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. David was more interested in the honor of the Lord than the riches that comes from this victory. Because when I'm reading this text, I'm thinking about David asking again, because he didn't just stop at, well, whoever kills this giant, he's going to have riches, exempt from taxes, and he's going to marry the king's daughter. He didn't stop there. He's like, what's going to happen for this man? Like, he's waiting for it, because that's basically the Lord's honor. And that's the point they didn't bring out. He was expecting this. Well, at least I was expecting this from them. And let's read now from verse 33 and 34. But before we do that, I just want to point this out. See how Eliab, his oldest brother, said, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. Well, whenever you stand for the Lord, Calvary Chapel, you will face a moment where probably people will make you doubt. They will stand before you, and this word insolence is rude behavior. David didn't do anything wrong. He was just questioning what was happening. But he was standing for the Lord's honor. But at that moment, people will look at you as crazy. They'll be like, "What are you? Who do you think you are? You don't even know how to fight. Why? What's? Who are you? Well, I know you, but what do you think you can do?" So the enemy will always make you forget who you are in Christ. And never give him that power. Now let's read from 33 to 44. Let's start in 34 because we read 33 already. But David said to Saul, as we read, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. For the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. Well, this is one of the most interesting part about this chapter, because David now is in the middle of the situation. He's not only asking about what's happening, he's now in the middle of the situation. And Let's read Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Do not say, for I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. And so this was David's situation as a young man. He was standing in the middle of the situation. He has experience with lions and bears, but no experience with a giant, and he was facing Goliath. But I want you guys, people of God, Calvary Chapel, to remember his power and righteousness as you press on. You must seek the Lord and stay committed to your prayer time. You must seek him for more intimacy. And I'm speaking to the young people in this room because I'm young. David was also young. Never say that you're too young. Always consider your time with the Lord, because David had enough time with the Lord in his secret place. He knew exactly what the Lord wanted him to do at that moment, because he was building capacity. He had more discernment. He was about his father's affair. And when you seek the Lord, you understand his character. You understand wherever he's going, and that's exactly where you're going. You seek the Lord for more strength. You seek the Lord to understand more of his character. You seek the Lord to understand exactly what he wants you to do in a situation. Because the experience you have with the Lord, it will dictate your future. It will dictate exactly how you're going to react in situations to come. For then you will have your own weapon. Because realize that David tried on the Saul's armor, but he realized that this was not his. Why do you think this happened? Because he had enough experience with the Lord to understand that my God doesn't do this with sword and spear. Not only that, but he realized that my God, he clothes me with something different. And I have something different in me. Had he not been in that place of seeking the Lord and spending time with the Lord, it would have gone totally different. I want you to realize that other people's experience are not your experience. Other people's testimony are not your testimony. The Lord will only take you and help you conquer this giant according to the ways he taught you in his word, according to the ways he taught you as you were spending time with him. Calvary Chapel, this is not your armor. You know exactly which armor you should carry as you spend time with him. This morning, I'm not Pastor Steve. I'm not Pastor Eric. And the Lord allowed one of his servants to come and give me this word of encouragement right before this teaching. She was like, I want to tell you this. I'm making you guess right now. The Lord, I learned this during the week, and I want you to understand that you are not Pastor Steve. You are not Pastor Eric. That's Jasmine. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you very much. And I needed to hear that, because this here is what I wanted to hear. As I was preparing this, I realized that my own experience with the Lord differs to other people's experience. And that's it. That is relevant for all of you in this room. Do not consider, oh, I'm 15, oh, I'm 16. And I pray, Lord, that you would open the borders of the young people in this room, that they would understand, as you seek the Lord, your life will never be the same. Well, you may have the drip of this generation. Well, drip means the swag. But when you spend time with the Lord, you're going to have his drip in you. And this world will never be able, they will never be able to say contrary to what the Lord is doing through you. They will understand and they will see it. I remember in Acts chapter 4, John and Peter, they were doing mighty things in the name of the Lord. But the people said, well, we have to realize that this is not a lie. This is actually happening. So we cannot say this is not happening. However, let's threaten them. The world will threaten you, but they will never be able to say that you don't have the Holy Spirit through you and you. And always remember this. This is not your armor. Spend time with the Lord. Seek him and get familiar with him, because the name he calls you, he doesn't call everyone else. Now, one thing that I want you to understand before we jump to the next part, young people, I want to project Acts chapter 19, 15 and 16. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I'm telling you this, young people, this is relevant to everyone in this room, but young people like David, young people like me, and that context. If you do not spend time with the Lord and you do not have this in you, the power of the Holy Spirit through you, well, the world will say, "Well, Pastor Steve, I know. Pastor Eric, I know. I know the elders. I know Jasmine, I know these, but who are you?" And that's when you're going to get into a situation, they're going to beat you up, and you're going to be wounded if you do not have his print on you. Know the God of your father, serve the God of your father, and seek the God of your father. And take off everything that's hindering you. Take off everything that's hindering your testimony and your victory, because they're not yours. Philippians 3:7-8 says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Call all of them rubbish. And it's hard to call them rubbish, because, well, you're used to them. You're used to the drip of the world. You know, you're attached. I was attached to so many things. When I was in my place of darkness, so many things I didn't want to let go of. Old sins, many things, but I had to let go of them, count them as rubbish. Because now it's time to press on. Now it's time to not look at the army that's afraid. It's time to look forward to know that there is an enemy before you. There is a giant before you. In the name of Jesus, you will conquer this giant. Because you count all of those past things lost and you go forward. And last thing before we jump into the next part. The book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall never depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Well, we need to read the next part, but I'm not going to read everything because we have to get into it. But at the end of this chapter, from verse 45 all the way down to verse 47, we read at the beginning of this teaching, David could only say that. He could only say all those things he said. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. He could only speak prophetically about what was going to happen to Goliath, not only because he had experience with the Lord, but he knew that he had a voice of authority in him. He could speak prophetically because he knew his Lord. What is your excuse? When you're facing the giant and you have to speak prophetically, you have to know the word of God to speak them, to move forward. What is your excuse to not do those? Because Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." The point that's very important in this verse is that the table is not empty. You are on this table, and the enemy is on the other side of this table. and the Lord anoints your head with oil. What is the definition of oil? What does it symbolize? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in you, your cup runs over. And the enemy that's sitting on the other side of this table, you shall not fear. Because God, in John 4, verse 5, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He has already overcome the world. So you should not be afraid. Where did David draw his weapon from in this chapter when he was going against Goliath? He drew his weapon from the bag he used to wear when he was in the presence of the Lord, the things that he's familiar with. What is your bag right now? Is it your Bible? What is it? Because I know right now my bag, what I draw my weapon from, it's my Bible. It's my place of prayer. Well, part of it is my discipleship. But what is your bag? What is in your bag? Because I don't want you to take fear out of your bag. Because if you come from a place of fear and you're used to that, that's what you're going to get from your bag. But when you stay in the presence of the Lord, you stay in the garden, you spend time with him, you will only take out what you took from his presence. And if you don't take anything from his presence, you shall not see anything. And you will come up, wait, what? I don't have anything to fight now. And 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. God will give you the victory against the giant. Then you're probably going to sing a song, "How great is our God?" I don't know, but he's going to give you a song of deliverance because that's your song and you have to claim it. There's no such thing as giant for the Lord. In Psalm chapter 18, 29, 30, it says, "For by you I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him." Sit down, grapple with these words, and understand that by his strength, we can run through a troop, not by flesh, by the Spirit. You can leap over a wall because the enemy cannot overcome any situation, cannot overcome you, cannot have any victory against you. And what happens when the Lord gives you the victory? The enemy is going to run. At the end of this chapter, when David went and he cut his head, the rest of the Philistines, they ran. Then you will realize that the giant was not that giant. Then you realize that whoever was standing and going, la, 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 they are not really giant. They're not really strong. It's just the absence of the presence of the Lord. But once the Lord steps in and the power of his Holy Spirit steps in, every demon will flee. And I want you to grapple with this part. Now, church, as a conclusion, as David pressed on, Paul pressed on, and I'm sure Pastor Steve, Pastor Eric, and all the elders and many other people here are pressing on. And I'm still learning how to press on. God is calling all of us Calvary Chapel to press on because this Goliath is not of our doing. It's of his. This victory is not ours, it's his. And in this season of transition, because that's the word, this is beautiful because it's about remembrance, because when you remember that the Lord was with you, when I remember that the Lord was with me in the valley of the shadow of death, when I got here, I was like, well, the Lord was with me when I was in Haiti dealing with those situations. Now he's with me too. I don't have to be afraid. Well, this is beautiful. This can be a moment of remembrance depending on what the Holy Spirit is telling you. But this is also for our church because we are in a season of transition. Every victory opens the door to a new battle, and it calls for a deeper faith. What happened after David won this battle? It didn't just stay there, because as Christians, we have this tendency to, well, after this, now I'm going to take a nap. I'm so tired. This is over. After those, I can't wait for those 3 days of fasting to be over. Now I want to eat. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I'm just saying that after a victory, there will be a new battle. And it requires a new level of strength. And David, if you're reading the rest of Samuel, you realize that David needed more strength. David needed the time that he had with the Lord to understand that as I'm fleeing Saul, all these things are happening. Lord, I need you. And it calls for a stronger courage. Calvary Chapel, stay planted, stay faithful, and take heart, because God has already won, and we have the victory. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Calvary Chapel, we're praying for a new location. But more than that, God is calling all of us to keep on seeking him personally, because new giants are ahead, new challenges are ahead. As when this happened, we're going to look back and be like, oh, the Lord who helped us is with us. And this, we're going to have new testimonies of his greatness. My young people, 1 Timothy 4:12-15. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may progress, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Whenever you go to school, wherever you're at, I want you to always meditate on this part. Do not let anybody despise your youth. The enemy was trying to despise my youth because I was about to say, well, you know what? We can have another, like an emergency person step in, because I'm not sure this is going to happen this time. I did my part, but I was dealing with it all. But I realized that I should not let the enemy despise my youth, because David was a young man and he didn't let the enemy despise his youth, nor did he let his brother Eliab or anybody else. Because Saul, as the king, literally gave this man his blessing, saying, all right, go ahead, do this. Because whenever the Holy Spirit is in you, they cannot deny it. They can only give you the okay of, okay, okay, this can happen. Well, I don't even know why I trust this, but let it happen. It's the doing of the Lord. Only God can do it. But we're not powerless, for we are co-laborers with Christ. We are empowered by his Spirit. We are moving forward together in faith. Calvary Chapel, this giant that we're expecting God to take down for us, it will happen. But we must press on. We must press on in prayer. We must press on in faith. We must press on in seeking his presence. Remember these words as we close. Everyone here, especially my young people, know, serve, and seek the Lord, and press on. Amen. Father, I thank you for this moment of in your word, and I really want to take the time to thank your Holy Spirit, because this was a beautiful time in your word, and it's whenever your word goes out, it never goes void, Lord. And I know that he has convicted hearts, and I know that we'll keep on convicting their hearts throughout this week. Lord, as the parable of the talents, let us this morning as we receive this talent to go and be productive and bring it back to you with multiple talents and give them back to you. Don't let us dig a hole and just plant it there and never look at it again and just fear. Father, give us faith. Give us strength as we face this giant. Let us spend enough time with you, Lord, that we would understand that your presence has all the spiritual blessings that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 1. I thank you, Lord. Bless your church. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.